Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome. Thank you to everybody who downloaded the show or is streaming it on the website. I of course, am Nate. With me, as always, is Larry.
Hey.
And Mel.
Hi there.
And, yeah, the show is brought to you by Huge Entertainment.
H-U-G.
H-U-G. It's pronounced huge. They offer music, entertainment, and design for weddings, corporate events, school dances, parties, and social celebrations throughout Northern California and Nevada, including Sacramento, Lake Tahoe, Reno, and the San Francisco Bay Area. With over 25 years of experience, the Huge staff will ensure that your event is a success, executed with style, sophistication, and professionalism.
So are they DJs?
And more.
Ooh.
And more. That's where it starts. It it was DJ Huggy, and he has expanded to do other things. So,
such as?
I don't,
karaoke?
I believe they will do karaoke if you desire karaoke at your event. You can hit up their link on our, if you go to our Podbean site, click on Show Extras, and we will have a link to Huge Entertainment, so you can check out all the stuff they have to offer. What is going on? Larry is in a mood tonight.
I am. That's true.
He is in a very big mood tonight because Larry had a softball tournament this weekend and posted on Facebook that he is, and I quote, a mega butch unicorn kitten.
Meow.
I'm actually very curious to know what all the terminology means because I know what, like, bear I've heard, and I know butch and femme.
Right.
But what are some other terms?
Oh, well, those aren't really terms. Those are unicorn because I just think unicorns are fun. And so one team started calling me a unicorn. And then this one guy called me a butch unicorn, which I liked. And then kitten because a couple of weekends ago I was out with some friends from another team. And he was pouting because he wanted to go to a bear pool party where there were tacos and cake. And literally he was pouting every 5 minutes. But you could drink all the beer you wanted for $10. And so we're like, we're not leaving yet. And I was like, he wants tacos and cake. So he started calling me kitten. So I combined the two. And I think it's fun to use the word butch and unicorn and kitten all in the same time.
With a mega on top of it.
Hell yeah. I hit a triple. I'm totally butch.
So your gay softball team.
The Gatsby Glitter.
And I stole the picture of you from your Facebook page. That's going to be on the Show Extras page. So
nice.
You have to click over and see this. It's
adorable.
It is. It's sort of reminiscent a little bit of the of Bret Hart from the late 80s, early 90s, if he were really, really gay.
It might be one of the coolest softball uniforms in history.
It's certainly one of the most unique I've ever seen.
Think Malibu Barbie plays softball. Flash is a gay guy.
Mel, did you get to see the picture yet?
Oh, I loved it.
It was, and then I saw the team picture, which was spectacular times, what, 10 or 11?
Mm-hmm. I actually want, I mean, if anybody's not going to reuse their uniform, I'd like one of those.
We should have gotten extras made because I think we could have made thousands of dollars selling them at our tournament.
You know what they actually remind me of a little bit, and you may or may not be familiar with these? About 10 years ago, Major League Baseball decided to have a turn ahead the clock thing. Now, it's a big deal to turn back the clock and wear retro uniforms. And I think it was right around 99 or 2000, they came out with these really god-awful, not that yours are, but they came out with god-awful turn-ahead-the-clock uniforms. So basically all they did was they went with polyester pullover V-necks with sleeveless with really large logos screened across the entire front.
Nice.
I remember the Angels had one, the Mets had one. Not every team did it, but it was probably the worst marketing idea in the history of Major League Baseball.
I figured it was turn ahead. They're going to be like that shiny metallic, like spaceman baseball uniform.
They should be hypercolor. Remember those?
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad Project Runway challenge. Correct. Create the baseball uniform of the future. Go. And then all these like skinny gay guys like, what's baseball? I don't know what that is.
That's actually what it really looked like. There was a lot of shininess and it was awful. I'll find a picture and put that on the Show Extras page too, because they were quite something. And I remember the Angels. It was when they had where the logo was a home plate and it had the Disney Angel Yeah, the Disney era angel uniform that was had a lot of periwinkle in it. So
periwinkle is never a good uniform color.
No, so it had a lot of that in it and wings, and it was quite something. So you are the champions.
We are the Russian River Rainbow Classic champions.
That is not easy to say.
No.
It's not.
But congratulations.
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Yeah.
It was our first out-of-town tournament. Quite successful. And it was a blast. It was so much fun.
And I love that you're sponsored by Gatsby's because I happen to love Gatsby's.
They're incredible.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they the diner that was featured on Food Network?
Yeah.
Correct.
And now suddenly you need a reservation to go in and get anything.
Yeah. Because they have really good, like, hamburgers, but they make them, like, literally when you're there, so it takes a while, and it's not that big. So ever since they're on that show, you have to have reservations. I just repeated pretty much everything you just said.
Yeah, I used to be, like, pretty much a regular there, and then after the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives episode, it's hard to get in there.
I can't go to Dad's anymore whenever the repeat runs because I like to go there for brunch, but oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Guy Fieri needs to find another city to be in constantly.
Right.
Well, maybe he could profile one of his restaurants.
Well, I think that's how it started, was he came here to do his...
Tex Wasabi, right?
Right. Yeah. And then he did Jamie's. Mm. And then
he's from around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Northern California
dude. Yeah, because he started his first Tex Wasabi was in like Santa Rosa or something, I think.
There was a guy in my volleyball... Oh my God, I sound so butch. I play volleyball too. There was this guy in my volleyball league who, I'm no joke, is a Guy Fieri lookalike. So he made up a whole story that all he like his entire job is to be a Guy Fieri lookalike at restaurant openings.
Wow. Nice. That was a simultaneous wow on that one. I can't believe something like that would actually fly as a story. And people believe that. That's really the...
People believe anything if you say it with conviction.
That's true. That's how the Bush administration made it through 8 years.
Aww.
It's what are you awing for?
It makes me think of the debt ceiling.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, aw, don't be so mean to the Bush administration. They were nice.
So my friend Ben's going to France next week, and I said, you better buy your euro now because the dollar is continue to fall a little bit. And if we have to go to a payday loan store to pay off our bills, it's not going to be pretty. So I'm like, I hope you prepay everything right now.
Yeah,
kind of scary.
Yeah, it's a crazy world out there. We'll talk about Mel's weekend and my weekend a little bit later. You brought up Europe, of course. We had the big terror attack in Norway on Friday, yeah. Which craziness. This guy absolutely nuts. And A lot of the media first assumed, you know, why wouldn't you, that it was Islamic extremists attacking Norway? Because, I mean, why not?
Exactly. Number one on their list.
And it turns out it's sort of the other way around. And you might know a little bit more about this than I do. Mm. But in the European Union, they have a movement toward multiculturalism. Over the past 20 years or so, mm-hmm. and there has been a huge influx of Muslims all over Europe from different countries. And I had heard about it, like in Germany and in Switzerland and mm-hmm. places like that. I didn't realize that at this point in Norway, that one in four people is Islamic.
Yeah,
I mean that just sort of blew my mind.
And what's interesting is most of Europe, most European countries don't believe in assimilation because there's still sort of the belief that, unlike America or really Canada, you can become an American. That
right.
notion doesn't exist to the same degree as it does in Europe. And because of that, they're really isolated. It's really segregationist sort of. And so they don't believe – it's more like – do you know how there's this theory that America is like a melting pot? Everyone comes and you kind of lose some, but you gain everyone else's and you all sort of blend together. In Europe, it's definitely more like a salad bowl. Like you keep your own flavoring, but you kind of mix with other people, but not always. And that's how it is there. And unfortunately, when that approach has really resulted in an increasing amount of really crazy right – crazy people on the right side just going a little nuts and – about immigration, about lots of things, and what they consider Norwegian culture or French culture or whatever culture is being taken away because they're not adapting. And so they're really – it's interesting of how that's playing out and really how fast, especially in some really progressive countries. Like everyone talks about Netherlands. Netherlands is some of the most racist – like there's such a backlash now. It's just crazy. And unfortunately, I think that stuff's going to continue in Europe. sharp.
Yeah, and it there's part of it, and I do not in any way, shape, or form, do not anybody think that I condone any way, shape, or form, any segment of what happened in Norway.
I'm nervous what's going to come out now.
I want to make that very, very clear. There is
I'm
no
a racist,
excuse for
but
that.
Black guy.
No. I understand why some people are angry. Not to the level that this guy was angry that you would hurt people, because that's ridiculous. But I kind of get the thought that if you grow up in a certain society, now I being from Vermont, where it is 98% white, so kind of comparable to Finland in terms of that, that if you suddenly, in less than a generation, turn around and what you grew up with, what you thought your homeland was, completely change, that if you're somebody who is unstable or a little bit ridiculous, that you're going to take it too far. And there is, you know, you can be upset about something and say that, hey, maybe we're taking something too far without taking it to the level of you want to hurt people, you want to do bad things to people. I'm just saying I kind of get where the seed of that comes from, as opposed to, you know, it's a resentment thing. And you see it in the States a little bit, too, because you were talking about melting pot. Well, it's sort of gotten away from melting pot here, and it's turned into that same sort of salad bowl, because when my grandmother came here, and she moved here from Canada, she was French-Canadian, she did not speak any English, not a word of English. She had a second-grade education, and she learned how to speak English. She learned how to write English. And while she still spoke French in the home, they still maintained that culture. When
did
it came
a lot of croissants.
there's no croissants in French Canadian culture.
Poutine. Did you eat poutine every day?
Actually, you know what? No, we didn't. It was very sort of a hearty meat and potatoes sort of thing, but no poutine.
More like Ottawan Canadians.
Sure.
In my mind, Ottawans are like the middle or like the Midwest of Canada.
But to get back to my point, when you came to this country, and another part of my family, they changed their last name, they modified their last name to sound more American when they came. And that
very
happened.
French before?
There was on one part of it. Oh. And that happened a lot. I mean, that's certainly not a unique story to my family or to French or to any others, because people would come here, and while they would want to keep part of their traits, like Italian neighborhoods and Irish neighborhoods, they would keep parts of their stuff. They identified as American. They were Americans with, you know, this background. And now what's sort of become the norm is people set up their own little neighborhoods where there are people that never even bother to learn English because, hey, in my neighborhood, I don't have to. I can just do what I want to do. And you start to see that's where you get that backlash of people who want to build a giant wall from the edge of Texas to the Pacific Ocean to keep the Mexicans out, which is a silly, silly idea, but it's where that
not if you're a wall builder, because it's a lot
that's
of work
right.
for
it's
quite
good money
some time.
In wall building.
Sure, it is.
But people do. They get very resentful when they feel like people don't assimilate, that they don't learn the language and they don't become Americanized, as it were. And I think the same thing's happening in Europe. Plus, people fear change and they fear things that are different from them.
Yeah, true. Right. So this guy, absolutely a crazy nutbag to the point where his dad was interviewed, and his dad, such a Norwegian patriot, he now lives in France at a vineyard.
Of course.
He said that his son should have shot and killed himself at the end, and that he would have no further contact with his son. So that is a very old school.
And he already hadn't had contact with him in like 15 years or something.
Well,
right.
It wasn't like he was like, look,
I'm going to start bonding with him right now.
You know, I saw him at Easter, but now, no, not after this.
Norway's really cold.
Maybe he should have suggested, though, that his son killed himself first.
Well, yeah, and I
not after he killed everybody.
And again, this comes from Adam Carolla, but I am fully behind the idea of if you're going to do a murder suicide thing, do the suicide thing first, and then see if the murder thing is still in your sights.
Well, and the best part is they're based on their laws and not having the death sentence. The maximum he can get is like 21 years, which just blows my mind. Yeah, why don't they do them separately, like each murder separate? Then you could do 21 years each. I don't know how their laws work, but.
So you're telling me that in Norway, the maximum sentence this guy can get is 21 years.
Right.
It
For killing 80-something
people. Or yeah, they keep people or whatever it is.
Because isn't their justice system not based on reparation? It's based on like restorative justice kind of stuff. A lot of progressive countries.
I mean, he'll be out when he's 50, 60.
Shoot, what's he going to do when he gets out of prison?
Right.
And the country's totally changed.
Yeah, it'll be at least 60% Islamic.
He'll come back to his Muslim neighborhood and be like, "What happened?"
No,
hey,
what?
Oh, but people, when they go to prison, oftentimes find a law. So maybe he'll become Muslim in prison.
Huh.
That would be
awesome.
I don't know if they find a law in the Norwegian prison.
I don't know. Maybe the Muslim outreach people. Are
I have a feeling
there.
Allah is going to find him in prison.
I think a lot of things are going to find him in prison.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
I don't think he's going to last his 21 years.
No, well, Jeffrey Dahmer didn't last his 21 years.
Dude, Jeffrey Dahmer was weird.
Yes, we just passed the 20th anniversary of Jeffrey Dahmer, too.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Of the discovery that, I think, what was it? He was, there was a naked guy running from his apartment down the street in Milwaukee. Did I have that right?
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
It was the most bizarre thing. And I mean, so let's see, that was 91. I mean, what a fucked up decade the 90s were, man. Mm. I mean, you had the Dahmer thing. You had Kurt Cobain killing himself.
You had that one guy in San Diego, Andrew Cunanan, who was killing. He killed, what's his name, the fashion designer?
Yeah, he went on the cross-country killing spree.
What was up with gay murders in the 90s?
I don't know. Your people were completely out of control.
It was a dark period for my people.
Yeah.
It was kind of – that was just the weirdest thing because – I remember on the news they were sort of tracking it around and they had the map and it's like, where's he going to go next? What's he going to strike next? And they weren't really that overt with saying that he was gay and he was killing gay people because it wasn't all gay people. He killed like a couple to steal their minivan.
He was straight curious.
He was well, when it comes to murder, he liked to spread it around. And,
that sounds funny.
And yeah, he ended up killing Gianni Versace, right?
Yeah, in his driveway. I went when I was in Miami. I went right by his house and it's kind of weird. Now it's a bed and breakfast.
What?
His house.
The Gianni Versace. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
I know. We were staying in a bed and breakfast where there was a dead person in the driveway.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
But if you didn't go someplace where there were always dead people, like.
You'd never go
I've been
anywhere.
To battlefields.
Yeah, there's been dead people everywhere, I guess. That pretty much.
Well, yeah.
That's the nature of dead.
Yeah. I always like to think instead of like where people died, like where people had sex. Like, especially, I used to work on college campuses, and I'd always be amazed at, like, ew, I wonder how much sex is taking place in this dorm room. Ew.
Yeah, you actually ruined a particular restaurant for me, because you mentioned,
Which one?
I'm not saying it.
I ruined a restaurant.
You said something about an orgy in a restaurant, and now
I did. A restaurant that shall go unnamed. Which, by the way, I did not participate in, to be very clear.
But it stuck with me ever since you said that. I've been deeply affected.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to eat there again, are you?
Not sitting down.
Sorry, unknown restaurant. Sorry, restaurant that must not be named.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm actually going there soon.
Nice.
That's kind of funny.
Nice. Yeah, we don't want to name restaurants here unless they want to give us money to sponsor the show.
Like Capital Dog. I love Capital Dog.
They should sponsor us because I like Capital Dog too.
And their service is super nice and they have lots of hot dogs.
Yeah, well... I dig Capital Dog. It was one of the weirdest things when somebody first mentioned Capital Dog. I'm relatively new here like you are. And somebody's like, you've been to Capital Dog? I'm like, what now? Like, oh, it's a hot dog place. And I'm like, okay. And then I went there and I'm like, oh, okay. Now
right.
I get it.
Right.
Yeah, not a lot of hot dog places serving beer. So that's kind of the cool thing. So
and they have $2 all week. It used to just be $2 Tuesday. Now it's $2 Monday through Friday. $2 hot dogs, $2 french fries, $2 beers. I'm not saying I go there a lot.
It's pretty amazing, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying they should probably, you know, give us a little money so we can, you know, buy equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Capital Dog, hit us up.
Call us.
And if you'd like to advertise on the show or if you'd just like to ask us a question about whatever – or
your favorite hot dog is?
Sure. Or if you'd like to have us tackle some sort of issue or question.
Yes. Ooh, we should have an advice column. If you're having dating life problems, email us.
Right. Hey, I'm technically a licensed therapist.
Yes.
Technically?
Well, I'm not licensed in California, but I am licensed in Ohio. So
you
I can
say
give
you're
advice
licensed.
If you call from Ohio.
I've been divorced twice, married and divorced twice, so I have some sort of qualification.
Right. I have not been married, but I haven't been allowed to yet.
Well, well, thank goodness for that.
Thank God, the gays. Ooh, but did you? Speaking of Norway, do you know the couple that saved most of the people were lesbians out on their boat?
Really?
Do you know how he went to go attack like a youth camp?
Yeah.
Which scary is very similar to something that I work with. It was like the Norwegian equivalent of it. But there were lesbians and they heard all the shooting. So they went on their boat around and warned everyone. So they ran away. Good it's blowing them. Up on the Facebook.
Okay. Not on mine, but that's...
No, the lesbians.
Well, I know now in California when that story is told in history.
It'll be Susie Orman and her partner on their boat.
With her jacket.
Listen, girlfriend.
So, Mel.
Yes.
I understand you were picking beans this weekend.
I did pick beans this weekend.
Explain.
Wow.
What's there to explain? I say he's a farmer, but I don't know if he counts as a farmer. Maybe perhaps he's a large scale gardener because I don't know what the requirements are to be a farmer. But he lives on this large property and we have, I don't know, more than an acre probably of garden. And so I picked rose beans and green beans and sugar snaps and I dried my rose beans and I pulled them out of their little husks.
What are rose beans?
Yeah. They're like these really pretty pinky beans and you can make, you know, you dry them like any other bean. We have black beans. We have lots of beans, but we have all sorts of different color beans and there's these rose colored, really beautiful beans and you dry them and you can make red beans and rice or, you know, put them in chili. You can do whatever. You know, they're just dried beans. And then I got on the riding mower and I rode the riding mower and I did the whole front yard, which is super fun.
Did you write your name first in cursive?
No, I'm not that good. Though I once had a guy writing his name in the snow peeing when I was a police officer and he almost peed his name onto me because he was looking down concentrating so hard he didn't notice the police officer standing in front of him as he was peeing his name in the snow walking down the street.
That's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah.
You know, if you're drunk enough to actually try and pee your name in the snow, you're probably not going to be picking up on the external stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Probably.
That is the one downside about Sacramento. There's no opportunity to pee your name in the snow.
That's true.
That's one of the few downfalls.
It's really hard when you're a girl, though. I did try once to pee my name in the snow, but you have to take your pants completely off, and it's a lot of work.
You'd need a stencil.
Can't you buy one of those things? Like when women go camping, can't they buy, like, accoutrement that helps them pee standing up?
Yeah, it's like a funnel, basically.
Yeah, couldn't you do that with a funnel?
I suppose so.
Did you call it a coochie-mon?
Accoutrement.
Oh, okay.
Or a coochie-mon.
You're French. You should know that. Well, you're French-Canadian, just like Celine Dion.
I'm exactly like Celine Dion.
You pretty much are. You're like her twin.
Yeah.
I need to go to Vegas to see her new show. Did you see her last show? Either one of you?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, take Celine out for a second because Celine's amazing, but let's say you don't like her.
Ugh, okay.
I can't imagine. Technically, I feel like I've seen a lot of theater. Her show, it was one of the most incredible technical things I've ever seen in my life. It was incredible the things that they were able to do. I mean, granted, they built like a $180 billion theater just for her and her show. But literally, I've seen a lot of things, and that was maybe one of the most amazing technical theater things I've ever seen.
You know, I don't want to like beg to differ, but I'm just going to say that the Aussie Slash show was also pretty freaking amazing.
Obviously, you've not seen the Femme Fatale tour of Britney Spears that started here in Sacramento a couple months ago.
Obviously, you've never seen a real Kiss concert. Yeah, how about that for Butch?
Right.
What?
Ooh.
That's right. Jewish dudes in makeup and high heel. Oh, wait.
That's, I think, funny. Kiss is like a tranny band.
Well, you have to remember when they started, that was the
glam
thing.
Rock.
Yeah, the
really
glam
in.
Rock was huge. New York Dolls, which featured David, what's his name?
Archuleta?
No, not David Archuleta.
I love David Archuleta.
Well, the guy who he ended up playing Buster Poindexter. On
the
Saturday.
Rapper?
No,
like he was pointing.
I know exactly who you mean, but I'm not being
David Johansen. David Johansen is his name.
The name.
And he was in the New York Dolls, and he played the character Buster Poindexter on Saturday Night Live in the 80s, and he was on Oz.
Oz, one of the most homoerotic shows in history.
Yeah, it was.
Not even homoerotic. It was just pretty much soft gay porn. Have you seen it?
No.
Lots of men in prison.
That was on like a fancy channel. I don't have fancy channels.
Yeah, it's on the HBO.
Which got the most Emmy nominations. Like, how crazy is that? I mean, I know it's happened for a while, but like the fact that HBO, a channel that like a lot of people don't get, gets the most, it's just crazy.
Well, that and AMC, which used to, I mean, not very long ago, AMC was really nothing but playing old movies that you would never really watch.
As good as it gets, or is it,
they're the movies.
Good men.
They're the movies that you won't rent at the video store. True. They'll play back to back with commercials in them. And now they've got Mad Men, Breaking Bad. I didn't see The Killing, but I heard it was good right up to the end.
Don't talk about the end. I'm still not over it.
one of my friends talked about that, and he loved the way the first season ended.
He must be crazy.
He is a little bit
French Canadian.
He's not. And he also does not have a uvula anymore. They've removed his uvula.
Oh, so he doesn't snore?
He had the tonsillectomy and whatever else you call it. But
is your uvula like your appendix? Like you're fine without it?
Mm-hmm. You have to relearn how to swallow. True story. It's that gangly thing.
Yeah. That
thing. It was only funny the way you said it.
You learn how to swallow.
Mel, I need to ask you a very important question.
Okay.
Are you pro or anti French Canadians?
You know, as a woman, anybody that has a little bit of an accent potentiality, if there's going to be some French or something, I dig the accent. So if it's you know, either way, you can't lose because you're going to get the hey, yeah, what, or you're going to get the French accent. So either way, you're a winner, right? Yeah. So I'm gonna go pro. Pro.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
I was just really curious because some people have strong feelings about French Canadians.
Yeah. Well, oddly,
why aren't French Canadians just the Canadians? Why do they have to be a hyphenated Canadian?
You obviously haven't spent any time in Quebec.
I have, and that's why I asked the question.
It's nuts because for anybody who hasn't, and a lot, we have a lot of people back on the East Coast who listen to the show.
Hey, East Coast.
And Quebec is French is the predominant language, and they've got language laws to protect it. So if you're a business and you have a sign out front, you have to have the name in French, and you can have it in English, but there are laws saying how big it can be in comparison to the French words because it's part of protecting the culture.
Can I tell a French story?
Of course.
So I have a dear friend, and she has met and now married a man from France.
Sacrement.
Yes, sacrebleu. And so she was saying that we should go to France and I could go see France with them and I should go on vacation with them. And she said, you could meet, maybe we could go like on a double date. We could set you up with someone. I'm hoping I was single at the time, or maybe we were just joking around with it. Sorry, honey. And so she goes, you know, you should learn some phrases like to say to guys. I was like, oh yeah. Like, you know, you're hot or you're sexy or tell me something. And she tells me a phrase that she thought meant something else apparently. So then not yet the husband, but now husband comes in the room. And I turned to him and I said, pissez-moi. And he said, oh my God, why would you want to pee me to pee on you? Apparently what she was teaching me how to say was pee on me.
That's hot. Pissez-moi. That can make you very popular very quickly.
Right?
Yeah, if you go to the right place.
So now that's what I know how to say, pee on me and croissant.
Ooh. You're almost fluent.
It's really away. Close. Really close.
You're functionally literate. You're functionally
right?
literate.
I'm going to go. Whenever I travel anywhere, I always learn like just two or three words. So I seem like I'm polite, like I'm trying. Like when I went to China, I learned how to say like, how are you and stuff. And I don't want any. Those are the things you had to learn in China was how are you and I don't want any. Because if you don't, what I found there was if you say no thank you, they think you're trying to get a better deal. So they won't, they keep trying to push.
Oh, they think you're haggling.
Yeah, because they'll do, and it's so cute. I mean, I'm going to sound so racist or whatever, but everybody, they all sort of say the same thing. And they're all going, lady, 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 looky, looky, cheapa, cheapa, lady, lady, looky, looky, cheapa, cheapa. And they all kind of sound sort of high pitched and trying to get your attention.
Sure.
And if you say no thank you, then they'll come down a dollar and they'll keep going. But if you learn how to say, I don't want it in Chinese, apparently that means like, no, seriously, scram.
Wow. I should try that at Safeway.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Okay, take a dollar off your hem. You're really racist today. We're alienating our Chinese and our French Canadian listeners.
Well, you two are.
I loved my time in China. It just, they're a mess, you know, and they treat their people badly and they're poor and they don't get good medical care and they don't have a good economy for the real people that are living there. And so they're desperate. And so there was a lot of looking for tourists and looking to make money. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad, but you can't buy everything from everybody. And they really do push hard.
Like the fake Apple stores. Have you heard about them in China?
No.
They were just making news. So literally their stores that are opening, they look exactly like real Apple stores down to like the balls you sit on and like the smooth wood and the genius bar, but they have nothing to do with Apple. 0.0%. They're not even authorized to sell Apple computers.
You can buy a knockoff of anything in China.
In New York City, one of the now they've really cracked down, so it's not the same. But in Chinatown, my sister and I used to go to get fake bags. And what's fun is you'd have to wait until no one was around, and then the like Asian woman would look at you, and she'd nod, and she'd press a button, and one of the walls would move back, and you'd go back because that's where all the real, really good, high quality fake stuff was. But you had to look like you were serious about buying. You had to wait till everyone is out in the store, and literally, like one whole wall of the store would open, and you'd go back there. It's awesome.
I want a secret wall in my house really bad.
Me too. Remember Webster, that TV show with the little the couple
Emmanuel Lewis?
Yeah. They had like a clock that was a staircase, and all. I've always wanted one of those in my house.
Have you guys been to the Winchester Mystery House?
Because
I've not. It's on my list. It's expensive. Isn't
yeah,
it?
it's
a letdown.
It's
not in the middle of like an auto park or something, right? Yeah. Like there's car dealerships.
Well, you know the
it.
Problem was the lady was
nuts,
and she was broke basically by the end of it because you know the whole story is that she had to keep building the house. So before they could make it into sort of a state protected thing and have it be kept for tourists and stuff, they sold everything off. So none of the original furniture or trappings in the house are there. And the land got sold off. So it's right next to like a huge movie theater complex. It's right in the middle of the town because, you know, unlike like Hearst Castle, which has all the grounds still there, which is gorgeous, it's just this crap hole house in the middle of this neighborhood, basically.
Yeah, and in San Jose.
San Jose.
It's sort of a Now you're hating on San Jose.
No, I spend a lot of time in San Jose, and the people are nice. The drivers are not.
Yeah, that can be a problem. The last time I went down through San Jose, they're doing all sorts of weird shit to 680. They're putting in like they're trying to put in the express toll lanes where, hey, if you'd like to get in this lane to go faster to where you want to go, it'll only be $13 each way or whatever, and it comes right off your fast track. You'll never know you spent $28, $26 getting to and from work, but they do. Anytime I head down to visit my friends who live in Salinas, and I'll go down that way, and I keep forgetting because I'm like, it's after. There's no traffic. There's really not a lot of traffic by the time I get down there, but there's constantly road work because they're constantly doing stuff. So it's like everybody's going along at about 70, then everybody's doing 40. Then it's just awful.
You know what I love about San Jose is that people from out of town, really people from outside California, the West Coast, have in their mind what Silicon Valley is. And then when they're insistent upon going and I tell them it's really not a place to go, it's kind of like an area where there's like office parks and like it's pretty much like any other place.
Industrial.
Yeah, they're always a little – they're always let down. I think they think it's like a college campus with all this stuff. And I'm like, now if you know people that work at like the Googleplex or – at Apple, they can get inside and it's neat, and you know, luckily it has, so it's cool. But like, literally, it's like driving around looking at office buildings. It's really suburban. It's just bizarre, and people are always a little bit like, "Oh,
I really would like to go live in Google Land, though. It just sounds awesome.
It's pretty sweet.
I don't think they let
you
out.
You can get free soda. That would make me happy.
You can get like everything. Like,
have you heard about
the new Apple
building they're going to build in Cupertino? That basically they literally said to the city, if you don't give us the rights, we're going to leave entirely. So, of course, they had to agree to it. It's going to look like a spaceship, and it's awesome. A friend of mine works there, and, like, people are so excited. There's going to be oxygen chambers, and, like, they have so many cool stuff. And at Google, you get free dry cleaning.
On a related note, the wall of the building just next door to where I work, taggers have painted lovely graffiti on it.
Ooh, that's pretty.
I'm feeling really slighted. I work in a, you know, a boring building with nothing special. I'm sad now.
Were you privy to the big bomb scare today at about noon?
Thankfully not. I do not work at that particular courthouse.
Was it the downtown courthouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was near the county jail.
Yeah.
Ooh, so did they have to evacuate the jail?
Just the courthouse part of it.
That would have been awesome.
No, it was for anybody who obviously doesn't watch the news or isn't in Sacramento, there was a bomb scare around midday, and the county jail is in a high-rise building in downtown Sacramento, which is kind of a weird thing because back east, all the prisons are out in the middle of nowhere. You know, so there's like a high wall and people.
But this isn't a prison. Most cities have like their
it's a jail. It's a jail, but it's still kind of weird because if you're just driving by and you don't know, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look any different from any other. There's nothing special about it that goes, aha, there's people in jail there.
Except for all the ass raping going on.
Oh, wow.
Can I say that? Can I say that?
Well, yeah.
Please.
We don't have any restrictions. We're an explicit show, but wow. Ooh. That came out of nowhere.
Sorry, everybody. I think I have Oz on my head.
It's possible.
In my head.
Here's the fun thing about Oz. If you've ever watched, I like watching other shows that the actors from Oz show up in. Like Dexter, there's like three people who are in Oz that are in Dexter. Law and Order, like Criminal Intent, there's a whole, basically the entire cast. Chris Maloney, who was on Law and Order SVU, was all sorts of doing gay stuff in Oz.
You know, he's a vegan.
No. I did not.
Yeah, he's a vegan. Which is funny because he's really big and like muscle bound. Muscle bound a word?
Yes, it is. So, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That brought that story to a screeching halt.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thanks, Larry.
And if you've never seen Oz, like Mel has never seen Oz, do you know the commercials for the insurance company with the guy that's Mayhem?
Yes, I love him so much.
Yeah, he was in Oz.
Him.
And the guy who teaches the class at Farmers University,
I love him.
Yeah, he was in Oz, too. He played the white supremacist.
Oh, my.
Who very early on branded a swastika on another inmate's ass.
I like that Henry Rollins was on Sons of Anarchy.
I love Sons of Anarchy.
I've never watched it.
Oh, fantastic show.
But it's based in the Delta, isn't it?
It is, except it's not shot there. So if you've ever been to the Delta you watch the show, it's like the biggest mind fuck ever because they're riding around through the rolling hills of the Delta that don't exist.
What about The Mentalist? Isn't that supposed to take place in Sacramento?
It is. Ooh, they actually film up fronts here sometimes, though. So at least the outsides are right.
Yeah, yeah. They were shooting at the Capitol one day, mm-hmm. like last year. But
do you remember the movie Jane Austen Book Club?
No.
I was probably one of 80 people that saw it. It was really good. But so I went to see it, and I was at the tower, and like they're showing it, and I'm like, this looks really interesting. No joke, the second time I've been in a movie where the building I'm in the movie at is I'm in the movie that's being shown on the film. I just said that really bad. So the Jane Austen Book Club is based in Sacramento, which I didn't know, but they show the Tower Theater in the beginning, and I was at the tower watching it. So I was like, oh, weird, I'm there. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened was my cousin and I went to a movie at Union Station in D.C. I don't even remember what we saw, but same thing. They were outside buying flowers at Union Station. I'm like, wow, I'm in the building that they're showing on the screen. Happened twice.
Huh.
Wow.
It's a small world.
Yeah. Movies. I saw Horrible Bosses this weekend.
I've heard good things.
Horrible Bosses was fantastic.
Doesn't that have Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes, it does.
I love him.
It's Jason Bateman. It's the guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the little guy. I don't know if it's Charlie, but it's the little guy from Always Sunny. And why is my mind blanking?
Jason Bateman?
Jennifer Aniston?
Jason Sudeikis.
Oh.
Sudeikis, Bateman, and Charlie O'Day. Yes, and I'm not going to give away the thing. I was expecting stupid fun, which there is plenty of stupid fun. What I was not expecting was a plot twist. There was actually a sort of effective plot twist, and I'm not going to go into what it was.
Because I want to see it. Everyone I know who's seen it has said it's really good. And said it's better than they even thought it was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And here are the only things that I had any, and it's not even a problem with. I would have loved to have seen more Jennifer Aniston in a couple of different ways.
She's too skinny.
No, she's not. She's fine. There's nothing wrong with Jennifer Aniston.
Other than her size negative two waist.
How dare you? How dare you? Mel, would you care to weigh in Jennifer Aniston?
You know, I'd love to complain and bitch and moan, but if I had her body and her hair, I'd be happy. So she's perfect because I'd like to be her.
Oh, yeah.
You're prettier than her.
Lies, but thank you. I could bench press her.
That would be hot.
She is
right?
She's fantastic in the movie, and she looks fantastic too. And by the way, and the other thing about that movie, Kevin Spacey, unbelievably good. Kevin Spacey.
When is he not ever unbelievably good?
Kevin Spacey just blows through the screen. It's fantastic, and you don't expect it. Because he's playing a giant dick, and there's a cameo. Colin Farrell's part is actually pretty small, and it's fantastic. And if you go to see it, stay through the credits because they have outtakes, which are as funny as the movie. I'm actually really looking forward to the DVD for the extras. So I would highly recommend going to see Horrible Bosses.
Done.
It was almost worth the fact, because we got to the movies, we went to the 4:30 show, and I'm like, all right, matinee. And she goes, $21. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I go, is there no matinee anymore or no matinee on this? She goes, oh, no. On Saturday, matinees only go until 2. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Did the space-time continuum change? Matinee should be anything that starts before 6 p.m. I'm sorry. You're charging $10.50 to see the movie. You want...
Which isn't as bad as the Arclight in L.A., so...
Yes, but we're in Sacramento. I'm in Natomas, for fuck's sake.
Oh.
I'm in Natomas.
Near the Hooters.
I was right near the Hooters.
Yes.
So it's $10.50 to see the movie, which, you know, whatever. And I didn't even think about going to the concession stand because it's like going to a ballpark, except worse. Because at a ballpark, sometimes they have deals on soda and stuff like this. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Why? Just because I remember last time, I don't even know where I was. It might have been in L.A. We got soda, and it was $7.25 for the large one. You got a free refill, but they were so big, it was kind of ridiculous. But the next size was like $6.50, so you paid 50 cents more, and like you got like 8 liters, like it was like literally like 8 liters of soda. It was ridiculous, but you're thirsty and you needed it, and so
yeah, I always smuggle a pop in my bag. But I had
love that you said pop.
But I had to have popcorn.
Pop. Why don't you smuggle popcorn with your pop?
Because I love movie popcorn so much. I mean, I go to the movies to eat the popcorn, but I always smuggle in my own pop.
We have a popcorn machine at work.
That is awesome.
Your tax dollars.
We have a vending machine that sells microwave popcorn to us.
Ooh, that's not as fun.
That's capitalism for you.
Ooh, the fair's in town.
I went
to the fair. It was
How
awesome.
How was it? Did you have a maggot sandwich?
No, but we looked at them. I had a corn dog. It was delicious.
Yum.
And I had a funnel cake.
Same ingredients, by the way.
And I had a tri-tip sandwich.
Ooh.
And I pet a goat and a pig.
Mm-hmm. So, did you see the big bugs?
We saw the big bugs, and we rode the monorail. Mm. I love the monorail.
Me too, and I don't know why.
It's just so fun.
I know.
Well, I think it's because you can look down upon the subjects scampering below you. Because I've done the monorail before at the State Fair, and you get to ride around, and you get to sort of look at everything and where people are congregating, and you get down and go, ha, 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 ha.
Of course, the funniest thing was, of course, since I went with my my boyfriend, we had to go to all the farming stuff and look exactly how they had planted everything and how they had irrigated everything and what crops they had growing and if their stuff was further along than ours or behind ours.
Wow.
So he was very interested in the crops.
Well, it's his business, for God's sake. Yeah. I mean, it's a trade show for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not just the giant turkey leg, which, by the way, I'm going this weekend, and the turkey leg is on the agenda.
If my plans change, can I just go with? You don't mind a third wheel, right?
Well, it would be a fifth wheel because our friends are coming up from Salinas to go to the fair too.
Perfect.
So, not at all. You're more the merrier. You and if any shooting starts or a rogue cow comes, we'll just throw you in front.
They should have like a special part of the fair where like it's just a food pass, where like it just gains you entry to where the food is, and you can't do anything else. Because I know a lot of people would go there.
Just
like,
for the corn dogs.
Yeah,
I'm in it for the corn
dogs.
Like
last year, Tiffany and I went pretty much to get grilled corn and fried cheese. And like it was fun to see the other things, of course. But like I would go if it was like half the price just to be able to buy food.
Fair food. Oh,
right?
Yeah. I would too.
I want to get deep fried Kool-Aid.
Okay. Wow.
I want to go. Let's go again.
Ooh, let's go.
Okay.
Okay. Can we invite Tiffany?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody loves Tiffany.
Totally. Hi, Tiffany, if you're listening.
I love it when people ask, can I go, when it's a big, big public open event.
Yeah.
Like, no, no, you can't go. You're not welcome at the state fair.
Well, you don't want to just go by yourself. When you say, can I go, that means we're formally setting up like a date to go as friends.
It means I'm going to follow behind you and watch what you do.
Yeah, and be creepy and stalkerish.
Sure.
Plus, I love the people watching at the fair. I mean,
it's amazing.
Mullets everywhere.
Okay, so this is a totally true story. In Ohio... the Ohio State Fair is a very big deal in Columbus. For several years, it was always it was the most attended fair in the country. And there, they have the All Ohio Youth Choir and the All Ohio Band. And if you're in high school, like the Honors Ohio Choir, if you get selected, you live at the fair. They have dorms and everything. and you perform. And so the summer between my freshman and sophomore year, then my sophomore junior year, so for two summers, I was in the All Ohio Youth Choir, where we lived at the state fair in dorms. And we'd get there and the Ohio State Fair is open for about like 3.5 weeks. We'd get there like 5 days before opened. We'd learn like 55 songs. And then we would perform like 8 to 10 times a day at the fair. And we would march because our choir was rather big. It was like 300 people. So we'd march from place to place. So like we had a percussion section, but like you would march to your different places. And we were way cooler than the All Ohio Band. What was awesome was we always got to sing with fun people, like not really super fun because there are people at the state fair concert. So like we sang with Michael W. Smith and that was fun. We sang with Sandy Patty. We sang with the Ohio Players, a whole bunch of people. But
it was really cool to live at the fair.
And so it was fun. It's like you were done by like
I want to be a carny.
It was awesome. It was pretty much kind of like it, except we were nice dorms and we're all like fun.
I mean, think about how cool being a carny is. You get to travel around. Mm-hmm. You could see, like, behind the scenes at the fair. It's sort of a secret dream of mine.
Can I say that I'm a little disappointed in the California State Fair because the carnies are super clean.
Yeah.
And you know now, I don't know how it is at other state fairs, people from other states. Please email us and let us know. But now, rides and games, you don't, like, have tickets or anything. You get a swipe card that's like a Metro card. And, like, when you go to a game, you have to swipe and everything's points. And it's messed up because you can't really it's not exactly like $1 goes 1 point. It's like this crazy point system. And of course, like you always end up with like 4 credits left on your car that you can't do anything with. And it's obnoxious.
That's right. That and going to the casinos now. I mean, I used to get such a joy out of plunking my coins in and getting that ching, ding, 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 when you get the money out. Now it's a fake ching, ding, 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 noise and it goes on your car.
The coins always made my hands so dirty.
I know, but it's part of it. Filling up those big gulp type cups.
Oh, I did love those big cups.
Oh, I love that.
They should have an old school section at casinos.
Right, yeah, I agree.
Well, I think they do. I think you just have to go to
a really crappy old school.
You have to go to the places in Nevada where the tourists don't go. I'm blanking on the name of the place right now.
Laughlin?
No, worse.
Oh, like right over the border?
Yeah, well...
What's that place that's the whole complex unto itself that looks like it's going to be really fun?
But it's not.
But it's not.
What is that?
It's right next to that sporting goods place.
Yeah.
Well, the place I'm thinking of is down near Vegas. It's like an hour outside of Vegas.
It has a roller coaster?
It might. I don't know. But yeah, those are the places where you're going to get your coin things because they're not upgrading to anything anytime soon. I mean, they're just going to stick with what they have.
That's true. Ooh, a fun traveling tip. Whenever you're in other countries, go to casinos because they have the lowest rates for exchange if you have American money. That's one of my favorite traveling tips.
Oh, that's
go to
that's
a casino
actually a good one.
Because they want you to gamble there, and so the exchange rate's amazing, and they have no problem exchanging any kind of bills.
Nice,
and they're everywhere. So fun travel tip.
That actually is a really good. That's a better travel tip than I've gotten most places.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I should write a travel book one day.
You should.
And then we should start a business, and I will travel around the world with you while we get research because that's another dream of mine.
That's amazing.
You want to be Rick Steves?
I want to travel. I want to work for PBS or something. Yeah,
it could be fun.
I like. There's a guy now that's doing a show on BBC America where he's drinking all the different alcohols.
Yes,
I want to do that show. I want to do like drinking across the world and drinking like the drink of each place and just travel to every country and every major city and have their local drink.
That would be kind of sweet.
Right.
That's kind. Yeah, that would be fun.
That'd be a really good job.
What's that show called?
I don't remember.
I was watching it for a long time.
It's not
time.
Fair. All these people get to do all that fun stuff. Even Gordon Ramsay now has a show now where it's Gordon Ramsay's Great Adventure, and he gets to travel around.
Well, that guy has 18 shows now.
So jealous.
Ooh, speaking of racing around, there is an event coming up in Sacramento called, like, I forget what it's called, like the Elephant Race or something. And it's it's amazing race, but it's in Sacramento. They tour the country, but like it's stopping here in August. So we should do it.
What is it? What do they do?
You get like a list of challenges. Like you meet one place. It actually starts at Old Spaghetti Factory in Midtown. And you get all these challenges. And everything's within 2.5 miles. So like, and you can't use your car or your bike. You either have to walk or use public transit. You have to go do all these challenges and come back. And there's really fun prize. The top prize, like the number one prize, like $500. And then all these kind of gift cards. And
fun.
Yeah.
I'm in.
The only reason I laughed at that whole thing, called it the... what was the elephant?
Yeah, it's called like the Great Elephant Race, or it's called something that has animal in it.
Well, I only laugh because about 5 years ago or so, there was a big controversy on the University of Vermont campus, and it was about hazing. And one of the big things that that was reported was the elephant walk, which is something completely different.
Yeah.
Were you in a sorority? What are you?
I was not. I went through Rush just for the experience. I was in a high school sorority. My high school had a sorority.
What?
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing in nicer areas in Ohio.
Yeah, it was like sort of this, all the upper middle class, upper class kids did it, and their parents did it because all the kids live in the same neighborhood. Their parents grew up in there. They had kids, their kids, their kids.
Were you in high school? Sycamore?
Wyoming.
Okay.
And so anyway, so I rushed in college, and I knew it wasn't. First of all, my roommate, and if she's listening, I mean, I love you very much. And she told me it was not for me, and they were a bunch of not our kind of people. And that was not the word she used. And so I went through Rush, and I was at one of the houses, and one of the women said, was asking me about it. And I said, you know, my roommate was really against me doing this. And she said, why? And I said to her, well, she said, you're all like fake and cookie cutter, and you all wear the same shoes. At which point I looked down, and they were all wearing the same shoes. And I figured maybe it wasn't.
When did you rush at OU? When would that have been?
I am not telling you.
Because my sister was a president of her sorority at OU. AOPI.
Oh, yeah.
Panda Love.
I did. I remember their house. Mm. But I'm not telling you what year I was there.
Were you there? Maybe she was there when you were there.
Maybe.
She graduated high school in 92.
Mel's not telling you how old she is.
I like finding out how old people are.
She's not playing your game.
Someone guessed I was 24 this weekend, and I almost made out with them. Just because...
Tip for anybody who is thinking of
making out with Larry.
Making out with Larry. Just tell him he looks like he's 23.
Done.
Go 1 year younger.
I'll go to second base.
There you go. I don't know. Sure.
You do look young. I think as a group, we all actually probably look.
We do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I usually get.
We look like a bunch of ragtag college students, frankly.
Yeah, we do. I got to study for my psych final. Ugh.
I'm just going to get stoned and wing it.
I've never done drugs.
I am drinking a beer right now, so that does qualify
as being.
Okay,
wait. Larry, you've never done any drugs?
I've never done any drugs.
Really?
100% true.
Huh.
Not even like a pill.
Well, now what do you mean by like a pill?
I mean illegal drugs. I'm not talking about legal drugs.
No, I've never done anything illegal. Here's part of the reason why.
Oh, wait. My dad and brother are listening. Neither have I.
Neither have you. Which in California literally makes me a rare species because I think everyone here is obsessed with weed. And it's kind of like, okay, here's my stance on drugs. It's fine, whatever. If you want to use drugs, fine. If you use drugs to like have more fun, that's one thing. Like it might not be my thing, but whatever. To each their own. What I don't like is when that becomes the center of what you do.
Yeah.
Like getting high is like what you're planning on doing Saturday night. Like that's lame. Like I don't ever – like I drink, but like I don't ever – like I'm going to get so wasted on Saturday. It's I'm going to go out with friends and then get wasted. That bothers me. Part of the real reason I don't do drugs is that I think that if I did, I would do them all the time. I would go from trying weed to like doing heroin in about 2 weeks. And I would be on the corner begging for money.
See, I'm really lucky in that respect because everything makes me sick. So I do nothing now. I don't even hardly drink because I just get physically ill from pretty much everything. So it's worked out really well. I'm a very non-addictive to drugs. I can't even use most regular medication, like prescription medication, because everything makes me sick.
Yeah, I get too scared. Like I can't buy pre-made bacon for the same reason. If I buy, you know, pre-made bacon you get at the grocery store, like in the bag. In the cold section.
You mean like bacon bits?
No, like pre-made bacon. Like it's already made. It's in a bag. Obviously, people don't understand bacon.
You mean it's already cooked?
Yeah, it's cooked. Pre-cooked bacon. And it's like, so you put on sandwiches and stuff. Okay. You'll have to look at it. But I can't buy it because it will turn into Larry had a bag of bacon for dinner. It's also...
That was not what I was expecting there,
so
that
like,
conversation.
Literally, it's why I don't do drugs is because if I did, I would go...
Larry
I would,
had a bag of bacon for dinner.
It's so tempting. Oh, you should look for it.
Okay,
it's
so
like
now
Oscar
I'm confused. Mario. It's already crispy,
yeah,
done
it's cooked. Like,
bacon.
Do you know how they have bacon at like at sandwich places?
Yeah.
That's kind of... That's cold, but it's cooked. It's like that, and so you put it in a microwave for like 10 seconds, and it's totally done. Like, it's Oscar Mayer kind.
I've never heard of it. Probably because I'm Jewish. I've never heard of such a thing.
I can't buy it. I did once, and it literally, I had a bag of bacon for dinner. Because it's just like, oh.
That is awesome.
So I don't do drugs because...
I actually, when I went to college, my parents were, of course, kind of worried that I was going to be drinking too much. Because that's what parents do. They worry about that. And was I drinking too much? Maybe. Because I had an incident in high school where I drank way too much.
No.
I'm not going to go into that here. It was in Canada. It doesn't count. So when I transferred schools, I transferred from St. Joseph's College in Maine to SUNY Plattsburgh.
You went to St. Joseph's?
In Maine.
Yeah.
Camp JoJo's the mistake on the lake. So that's what we called it. So when I transferred, I decided, you know what? I want to make sure, like you, I wanted to make sure I don't have, you know, it was just for my own peace of mind, that I don't have some sort of issue where I shouldn't be drinking at all. Mm. So when I transferred, I completely stopped drinking, which freaked out my roommate. He's like, "You don't drink?" I go, no, I've drank before. I'm just not drinking now. Mm. And it sort of blew his mind. And so, you know, the first thing I wanted to see was, well, am I going to really need to drink? Am I going to go through this whole thing where, oh, my God, I have to have a beer, or I have to have this,
like,
or whatever.
Alcoholic?
Yeah. Honestly, I was not that I was concerned that I was.
Or
but
the DT is going to start.
Well, no, because there are two things, and I know there's more than this, but there's two things that if you have addiction issues, one of the things is you need to have it every day. And if you don't have it, it bothers you. Another thing is you can't have just a little bit. You know, you can't, like, have a drink. You have to have a bunch of drinks. So I decided to sort of go through for my own mental checklist to make sure that I was cool with it. So I went 3 months and I did not have a single drink, and I was perfectly cool with it. And then I said, okay, I'm good there. Said, let's see if I can just have, you know, a beer every now and then and be cool with that. And so for the next couple of months, I just would have a beer here, a beer there, and I was fine.
Beer.
So then I just let it loose and drank however much I wanted. Because I was...
Well, I'm not an addict, so back to binging.
I proved I'm not a drunk, so fuck you.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. That's and if you've been to Plattsburgh, New York, you understand that's really what you do there. I mean, I have...
do they call it pop or soda in Plattsburgh?
It's soda. They don't start calling it pop until you get, I believe, almost to Buffalo.
That's what I was going to say, Buffalo, Rochester.
Yeah, it's you have to get way out to Western New York before you cross that soda/pop line. But I remember once, and this was well after college, this was after my first divorce, I was out drinking with some friends, and I got some Monopole wings. And Monopole wings are awesome, by the way.
I don't know what that is.
Monopole is a bar in Plattsburgh.
Oh, I thought it was a type of drink.
No. So I've got this thing of Monopole wings, and I lived about a mile from the downtown area. So I remember getting the Monopole wings and walking down the street on the sidewalk, and I'd be eating the wings and throwing the chicken bones into the street as I'm walking back to my apartment.
Wow,
it was awesome.
You were crazy.
It was an interesting time.
Well, my 21st birthday, I almost went to the hospital. I was so drunk, and I remember crawling headfirst into a cop car and eating sunflower seeds off out of a bag with my mouth off the lap of the police officer before he told me to please don't do that. And if he's listening, I miss you very much, because we became very good friends later. Not very, very good, but good friends.
My 21st birthday was during finals week, and so I actually moved one of my – I went to a school that was very awesome and fun, and I told my professors my 21st birthday, so she let me take my exam early. So I took my exam the day before my birthday – actually, the day before my birthday, because you always go out the night before, like at midnight. And so all my friends were like, hey, we can go out, but we can't drink. So literally my 21st birthday was me drinking like crazy fast because people were buying me drinks. And everyone was just kind of standing around.
All alone.
It turned into the watch Larry get drunk as fast as possible experiment. And it was bad.
Mine was bad.
I don't ever get hungover. I've gotten hungover maybe like 3 times in my life. Maybe 4. And so it was awesome. But woof,
it was when I learned about what a cherry bomb was.
Oh.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
That was hot.
Yeah. And I hardly drink now, so when I do drink, it's often not good. I actually, a couple months ago, for the first time in many, many years, vomited all over my guest bathroom. Thank you, honey, for cleaning that up.
Nice.
That's so awful.
It was bad. It was a bad feeling.
Like that bad feeling.
Yeah.
Then, like, you get the high.
And apparently it's a really shallow sink, so the splash factor was intense.
Whoa. You threw up in the sink?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was very, very drunk.
Better than the
floor. Well, some of it got on the floor and on my sock.
Oh no, not your sock.
That was as far as I could get. I just barely made it to the sink. And then the next thing I remember was he was waking me up and I was on the floor in that bathroom. Resting.
When I first moved here, my friend Aaron and I had a High School Musical 3 party. We never, why? We just thought it'd be fun. We had a very interesting mix. We had vegetable ratatouille, which is like vegetable soup, kind of. And we had mini
melange.
Bottles. And we had lots of mini bottles. And we got drunk very, very quickly. And then at which time I decided it'd be fun to watch everyone, have everyone watch me spin around as fast as I could.
Oh, no.
Let me just say that that party ended very quickly when... It looked like a very bad water show.
Oh.
Because I literally spun around for like a minute as fast as I could, and then it happened.
You did your imitation of the Bellagio fountain?
Yes, it was.
That's awesome.
And I don't remember, like, I really don't remember, and then everyone left my house, and
well,
I remember
really?
Waking up the next morning thinking, like, what the fuck happened in here?
What I wouldn't give for a video of that.
Oh, I was also in my underwear, because a friend said everyone wanted to see my tidy whities. And so for some reason, I was like, okay, and it was bizarre. It was bad.
Now, which alcohol caused you to do this?
The mini bottles. It was like
but
flavored
what?
Vodka. It was like flavored vodka. We went to BevMo, which is the best store ever.
Yeah, it is.
And they have like a travel section, except instead of like the small toothpaste and deodorants, they have lots of mini bottles. So we're like, let's get mini bottles. And we had a lot of mini bottles. And you can down those really fast.
Seems like that would be more expensive.
It is. It is.
I mean, it was a High School Musical 3 party, so we were going full out.
No expense spared.
Oh, right, right.
We're classy people up in here.
No, I know it's expensive because I actually, the last time I was at BevMo this weekend, I got a mini bottle of that 1800 tequila. I love tequila. Tequila is awesome. Mostly because I didn't touch tequila until I was much older. Because everybody had these horror stories that tequila made them do horrible things.
That's because they drank, when we were young, we drank really bad, cheap tequila.
Right, and a lot of it.
I can only drink tequila when I'm already drunk.
When I was in college, one of the things I would do, and I had a drinking buddy, my buddy Mike, who, if he's listening, he'll know who he is. He would get a bottle of peppermint schnapps. And he would chug it.
Gross.
He would chug it.
That's unfortunate.
And here's what I would do. I had the smaller bottle, not the travel size, but the smaller bottle of Bacardi 151 and a 1 liter bottle of Coke in the other hand. And I would just, there's no need for cups. So it was just like swig of 151, drink of Coke, swig of 151, drink of Coke. Now you know why I stopped drinking for like 3 months. Because when you're doing that... And
you were ready to go pro.
We the funniest story is we went to a dance. We had
college.
I know it sounds.
You had a dance.
I went to St. Joseph's College. It was like going to college in the '50s.
Wow.
It was. So we were there. We went down there and we were dancing. We were having a good time. We were headbanging. We both hurt our necks doing the headbanging at the dance. I woke up the next morning.
College?
I'm not telling you.
Everyone's
it was not the 50s. It was not at all the 50s. But yeah, I remember I woke up the next morning and I'm like, man, my neck hurts. You know, not like I slept wrong. My neck's a little sore. I'm a little hungover. No, my neck like really, really hurt. And I went to the dining hall and I ran into him and I go, dude, is your neck sore? And he goes, yeah, my neck really hurts. He goes, what the hell did we do? I go, we were headbanging because that was, well, I mean, it was the time when that was what you would do. That's what everybody
I've never
did.
Really headbanged.
Well, you probably weren't listening to a lot of Winger, were you?
Who's that?
Who's Winger?
Is it a German dance band?
It is.
By Cascada.
How dare you? How dare you?
Wow.
Hold on. What's their most famous song?
17.
She's only 17. 17.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Kip Winger.
It's
yes.
Slow.
Daddy says she's. No, it's not. It's fast. So Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough.
For me.
Old enough for me. That's the. It was a simpler time, Larry.
I had a friend that got a tooth knocked out at a Ramones show.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you fit in then?
Oh, yeah.
With the band?
So when I'm in college, like, I think the quintessential freshman year college song for me, I think, was Spiderweb by Ooh, what was her band?
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
No Doubt. I'm walking in a spider web.
Yeah, I went to see...
Everyone used it as their voice. Oh, everyone, because everyone had, not people had voicemail.
Answering machines.
Answering machines and voicemail, because our college, everyone had voicemail. Almost so many people had that, like, in the background, and you'd sing, leave a message and I'll call you back.
No,
just
boy.
Based on the conversations tonight, you can tell who's the oldest and who's the youngest in the room. Pretty easy.
I'm 24.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, we all are.
We're all 24.
What do people do before email? I don't understand.
What's a card Same thing I do now. I write letters.
What's a card catalog? I don't understand.
Dewey Decimal System.
Dude, I worked in the library in college, so I actually know how everything works. I had to file microfilm.
I like the word microfiche.
Yeah. Microfiche is bullshit.
I worked in the cafeteria.
I did that too, and I moved from the library to the cafeteria because when you're in college and you're a dude, you want the chance to be exposed to as many women as you possibly can, and that wasn't happening in the library. It was not happening in the library. But when you're working in the cafeteria, even if you're at the tray return, you see everybody, so you get to say hi to everybody. So
smart?
Not really, because I mean it was really fucking gross. By comparison, whereas the library was really a cush gig.
My college now, they don't have any trash at their cafeteria. And so what's funny
what? Is
they don't have any trash.
How do you not have trash?
They will it to not be.
Because if you get food to go, you're given a to-go container, and you use that just until you get a new one. Like, it's not – like, it's reusable.
No, but usually at the cafeteria, most of the trash is like, half-eaten food stuffs.
Well, they compost – and then everything else is reusable. There's actually no trash. No trash.
So they have like linen napkins?
They do. And what's funny-ish is that because of that, they had to lay off. They were going to lay off the old cat, like the people who used to
the
like,
lunch
clean.
Ladies.
Yeah. And so there was like backlash. So they were able to save their jobs. But it's kind of funny, like the downside of going green, because you don't need as many people to clean and dry and all that stuff when there's really no trash.
All right. Now we're going to go a little long tonight.
I know. We haven't gotten to any of the
I know.
Current events
Fuck the
stuff.
World. Fuck the world. We're going long. Yeah, notify the network. We're going long.
That's what he said.
Are we going to take an intermission for potty breaks?
If you need to go, you can go. We'll fill in.
All right. I'll let you know. I'll give you the signal
we'll
if I have to
talk about
go.
You, though.
Yeah.
We will. We'll talk about it. Let's do a little we'll do a little cooler tool as a sort of a barrier
Ooh,
thing.
I like
here.
It.
Good.
So Kim Kardashian, we found out this past week. She has psoriasis. She's a brave girl. She that was part of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians this week, if you missed it, and I didn't because I do. And the funniest thing for me was when she said, "What would the media do if they found out?" In front of all of her reality show cameras, what would they do if they found out you had psoriasis?
So, were you saying is she cool or not or cool?
No, this is all part of this is all lead up, man. And also this past week, she's suing Old Navy for using a lookalike,
yeah.
a Kim Kardashian lookalike, who is dating her ex-boyfriend, Reggie Bush.
Right. Now, to be fair, about 65% of the female population in Miami, Florida looks like Kim Kardashian.
Right. It's a bullshit. Yeah. It's a bullshit thing, which leads me to cooler tool, Kim Kardashian.
Tool. Easy.
Tool.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go there, too, because... I mean, great. Yeah, you've cultivated your blah, 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 blah. The only reason anybody knows who you are is because you let Ray J pee on you in the video that went out. Going back to your phrase in French that you should really learn.
And her stepfather's an Olympian. I mean, that's a pretty important card to play.
Yeah, but her real dad got OJ off.
True.
He was the one who left OJ's house with the bag, which could possibly... allegedly, maybe have been carrying the knife that was used to kill.
I can't believe you could even ascertain something that
serious. I'm just saying people have
but
said.
The poor girl has psoriasis. Would you guys just get off her back?
Well, you called her.
Maybe I don't want to be on her back. She has psoriasis.
She has,
yeah,
mostly on her leg, but that's okay. And how about Reggie Bush for going ahead picking your next girlfriend to be a lookalike of your previous famous girlfriend?
I don't think that makes him a tool. I wouldn't say he's cool.
Are you defending Reggie Bush?
I just say...
He hates gays.
Well,
he
is a tool. The decision to date a girl that looks like Kim Kardashian is just you like what you like. And if you can put your wiener in it, guys like it. And it was probably the next hoo-hoo that came along.
You can put your wiener in water... Actually, men love watermelon.
I don't think Reggie Bush goes for...
Watermelon?
Needs to. I don't think he needs to. I think there's a lot of hoo-hoos coming down the street in his direction. And if they happen to look like his ex, they do.
You're really serious about this.
I don't judge based on where he's putting his wiener.
I do. And here's why. Because there's this whole thing of, oh, people have a type. People have a type. Yeah, people do have a type. But here's what I know. The people that are dating people who constantly look like a carbon copy of the last person they're dating, they're dumb people. Because all they're doing is they're judging completely off of a look, and they're not even remotely going to what's under.
He's Reggie Bush. He's looking for a deep, meaningful relationship with an intellectual?
No. I'm not saying an intellectual. I'm just...
Would you date Reggie Bush?
No.
Would you date Reggie Bush?
No, I don't have chocolate fantasies.
Okay, well, I'm straight, so no, I would not date Reggie Bush.
Would you have sex with a man for $1 million?
Well, do I get to be the man?
That's not the correct terminology.
I understand. See how little I know about this?
You mean pitching or catching?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if that's the proper terminology either.
You won't know until it happens.
Yeah, then I don't know.
$5 million.
So now we're just haggling on price, is what you're
saying. $5 million. There's very few things I would not do. For $5 million, I would do nothing but go to Taco Town all day long.
For $5 million, now guaranteed disease free.
Yeah.
Okay, then for $5 million. Wow. Sure.
See,
and
listen
of
out there,
slow
man.
Slow lead up.
Yeah, well, yeah, there would be
lessons involved.
I don't know about lessons, but there
training.
Just no rush.
Yeah, I don't think that's something you'd want to be like, all right, let's get this over with. Let's break.
Obviously, you haven't been to the clubs I've been to.
Exactly. Exactly. So Reggie Bush,
Tool.
Ugh. Tool, but not because he's screwing this girl.
He's a tool. Okay, we've all seen the Geico commercials with the bro stash that you can download to your phone. Yeah. You have not? I've actually downloaded the Bro Stash.
No.
The Bro Stash is, let me call it up here on my phone, the Geico Bro Stash. Basically, it's a Geico ad where it's another ad where it's just making fun of guys for being guys.
What happened to the little lizard?
The little lizard is sort of gone, but the Bro Stash
is this thing. Oh, my word.
Yeah, and you just put this up in front of your mouth like this, and it looks like you've got a stash.
I want to see it on
awesome.
You.
Awesome!
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So... Yeah, it's great. You can go to Geico and download your own bro stash.
You can do. Ooh, you could put that lots of places.
Sure, you could. So the Geico bro stash, cooler tool.
That is awesome.
Cool.
I need it.
Definitely
give
cool.
Look,
I don't say that because I have Geico insurance.
Oh, Mel is putting it over her lady part.
Yes. Ooh, that looks like a lady part.
shaved
on one side. It has alopecia on the right side.
It's a half wax.
I did it sideways. Yeah, it hurt so much that I didn't let them do the other side.
Do you know how Geico really got started? They're an insurance company for government employees. That's what it stands for.
It's the government.
So I get a discount.
Nice.
Thanks.
Okay, our last one. Comic-Con, just wrapping up in San Diego.
I have such mixed feelings.
I do not have mixed feelings. So Comic-Con, the entire culture of Comic-Con being the best thing ever. Mel, what say you? Cool or tool?
I love it. Cool.
Larry?
Okay, here's my thing.
I would like to dress up and go and hang out at Comic-Con. I actually went to a convention a couple years ago, and I think it's rad. I think it's cool. I think it's counterculture. I think they're fun. I think they have balls, and they're doing it, and they're doing it right. So God bless them.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I love that Comic-Con has evolved into a celebration of all things pop culture. I wish they would separate the anime and comic book aspect with the pop culture aspect. I appreciate the comic book people and I love when people just get dorked up and geeky about whatever thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone has something they're like that. So I like that, but it's not my thing. So I'm going to say cool, but my problem is the convention center in San Diego is so small, it needs to be in a bigger place, but they won't move it because they're afraid if they move it to LA, it'll just become pop culture galore.
Right.
And so I'm going to say cool. But I hope that you Comic-Con people are listening and we'll separate pop culture apart from the comic book, anime, all those things. Because I don't understand them all and I think it's fun. But I've wanted to go, but their tickets are impossible to get.
I'm going to go on the other side on this one. I'm going to go.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going complete tool on this. Because we had this conversation before about how the nerds are now in charge and the jocks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, true.
Well, fantastic. It's Revenge of the Nerds. So now, basically what's happened is the nerds have turned into giant assholes about everything. And No, it's absolutely true. It's there is this sort of like, oh, you don't know what's going on at Comic-Con? You don't understand Comic-Con? Comic-Con's the best thing ever.
It's their world.
Well, yeah. I understand that, but they're dicks about it now. And that's what I'm saying. No,
I'm on
no,
board
no.
with it. I think they should be. It's their world, and if you don't fit into their world, then who's the king now? Amen. That's their world.
Okay, so that makes... Okay, first of all...
Like, I have a friend who every time I mix my genres of comic book heroes, like, sometimes I'll say two characters, and he's like, oh, that's Marvel, and that one's whatever. Yeah. That's DC. I just respect him for that. I think it's awesome and hilarious. That's his world, and he knows it.
That's a guy who cares a lot about that one thing. I'm talking about... Like, as a whole thing. And I'm talking about the individual people. I'm talking about, as a whole, it's become this whole nerd empowerment thing. And so, now we're going to stick it to you.
Yeah, but I don't think...
How do they stick it to people, though?
Yeah, I don't think it's like they're going around being like, fuck you, you don't know comic books. It's like they're all with their people. They're in their place doing their thing.
No, I disagree.
And if you want to go be a tourist, as it were, then... Suffer the consequences of having a mixed up uniform that doesn't match. If your outfit is not appropriate, then
what's a CO? Isn't it called COS play or cosplay? Costumed.
I have no something. Idea.
That's what.
Well,
it's they called.
Have. Well, the game playing people are like the LARPers, which is live action role playing people. That's different.
Wow.
And I remember in college there was this Society for Creative Anachronism, but those are the people that did like the medieval dress.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I love when people are.
I wish that my boyfriend was into doing that stuff because I would love to go to the Renaissance fairs and dress up like a wench and really get into it. I love all that. I think it's awesome.
Me too. I think Renaissance fair. I could never be a Renaissance person, but I think it's fun to go and eat turkey legs and watch jousting.
Yeah, I just think it's awesome.
I love true or false. My high school had a jousting team.
I'm going to go true.
Really?
False.
That would be, I wouldn't be surprised. You're rich old snobby.
Yeah, we've already covered school. That. Yeah. Larry comes from a very snooty part of the world.
Don't make fun of my natatorium.
Look, we're going to go to the natatorium afterwards, and then we're going to do some blah. That's all we're going to do.
It wasn't called lunch. It was called midday meal.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It's lunner. Anyway, this is the big thing that we've been talking about before we talked about it. It's the new Summer's Eve campaign.
Oh, yeah, now I am going to let you guys talk about it for a minute.
No, don't leave me alone.
No, I can't take it.
No, what?
I have to go pee.
Oh, okay. Mel's going to take a break. Larry, let's talk about something else while Mel's gone. Let's talk about Amy Winehouse while Mel is gone. Well, it's not my fault your bladder is so small that you've got to break out in the middle of the show.
Do you know what's sad is now her album and Rehab had gone to number one on iTunes?
Of course it has, because people get very nostalgic about, not necessarily nostalgic, but people who wouldn't have bought it before are buying it now because they're like, oh, it's awesome and it's cool because whatever. And she had a great voice. She had a great voice.
She did.
Also,
past tense.
Also a junkie beyond
crazy
all measure. I'm, you know, exacerbated by that. I never really cared for Amy Winehouse's stuff. I didn't. No, the first time I heard Amy Winehouse's songs, I thought it was like a remake. I thought it was all remakes of 50s songs that were done for movie soundtracks, because that's what it sounded like to me. It didn't sound new or contemporary or anything like that.
Oh, see, I really liked it. I liked her songs a lot.
No, and I'm not dissing on them. I'm just saying they had more of a 60s girl band.
They're
sort of sound.
They're supposed
to. No. And but that just never, it never sounded contemporary to me. It would be like when the Stray Cats came out and they're like, yeah, we're a rockabilly. Well, good for you.
But she was a Jewish British woman.
Okay.
I think that's good.
No, that's fine. She just,
she had good hair.
She had,
was that real? I always thought that was a wig.
It was extensions, and I think she had a bump it.
Yeah.
It was rough at times. It was really rough.
I tried to rehab, but I said no.
By the way, if anybody hears this and then makes the Amy should have gone to rehab joke, it's been done. Stop it. I'm going to come and punch you in the face. Because everybody, I will give people, when they first found out, the pass of thinking they're the clever one who came up with it. Mm-hmm. But now that we're several days out, no, you do not. You don't get a pass.
Someone right now is on Twitter or Facebook writing like, uh-oh, Amy Winehouse should have gone to rehab, but no, no, no.
No, I know. I see it every day, and I'm like, are you fucking serious, people?
I think Obama actually just tweeted that yesterday.
Well, he is busy with other things.
If like our debt ceiling.
And he's busy with Boehner.
Boehner, cool or tool?
Oh, no, he's a tool.
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 And he went to Xavier, which is a crappy school in Cincinnati.
He is a gigantic orange.
He's a chain smoker.
Well, is that why he's orange?
And when people ask him why he's a chain smoker, if he'll ever quit, he'll end press conferences because he refuses to talk about it anymore.
Well, that's because he's addicted,
and
obviously.
He's a spray tan whore.
Oh, and you know what else we didn't cool or tool is this whole story about the mom with the kid that was jaywalking.
And she
could have potentially ended up with more time than the person that actually hit her kid.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I watched the story, and first, I love Ann Curry, but sometimes she gets a little too emotional when she does her Today Show thing. I don't think she's been prosecuted yet, but, like, she might just because she's getting charged.
No, she's done.
Oh, she did? Oh, yeah. I just thought she didn't get the...
She wound up not getting a jail sentence.
Oh, okay.
She got... I felt bad for her. A year of probation and 40 hours of community service.
I feel bad. Like, she looked really... Like, in her
The judge actually
sense.
Gave her an opportunity for a retrial or some sort of shenanigans so she can clear her name.
Yeah. So for anybody who didn't hear this, let me make sure I have the story right. Was this in Spain or France? I think it was in Spain.
It was in here. It was, like, in New York.
It was in Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana.
It was somewhere in the... Why do I... I've got Europe on the brain.
It was French Guiana, French Louisiana.
So anyway, wherever it was, this family is jaywalking across the street.
And her son died, right?
Yeah.
Gets hit. Was a 2-year-old got hit and killed?
Little kid, yeah.
And so she was prosecuted for, was it manslaughter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So because she put the kid in harm's way by jaywalking.
But that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you hear the whole story and the circumstances that led up to it, I mean, that's like saying having a pool and your kid somehow got into the pool somehow and felt like because you had the pool, you were putting them in danger. Because you drove in a car, you put them in danger. Because you had them out of the house, you put them in danger. Because you had a bathtub, you put them in danger.
No. You walk out into the middle of the street and you're not in a crosswalk. You are legitimately putting somebody in danger.
You put them in a car.
But here's the thing, though. She got off the bus, and had she gone down the sidewalk, she would have crossed two other streets, and it was dark and unsafe. And she thought she made the smarter decision by just crossing the street
with
there
a huge mass of people that had just all gotten off the same bus. And her apartment was right there. She would have had to go in almost half a mile out of her way up and back.
And here's the thing on today's show.
With
she
four
definitely
children.
Seemed like a woman that was not she definitely seemed like a real person who was like, I'm tired. I need to get my home. Like, she didn't seem like a crazy woman. The thing that's unfortunate is I think, like, that happens all the time. I get it, but, like, why are they making an example? She lost her son. Like, you know, I think that's enough.
It just felt... I know this is, like, whatever, racist, whatever. It just feels like if that had been a white upper-class lady with her kids,
we
would have never heard about
it. There's no way.
But the fact that it was an African-American woman, all of a sudden it was like, she must be some crackhead who let her kid run into the street. And it was like... It just seemed ridiculous to me. People jaywalk. People walk across the street. Mm-hmm. She wasn't looking to kill her kid. She was looking to get kids home after a four-hour day with no... You know... I heard, you know, people were joking, and I don't know if it's true or not, that nobody in the jury had ever taken public transportation.
No. Nope.
The lady had been on the bus with these kids for like 4 or 5 hours. They were tired. They were hungry. She just wanted to get them home. She wasn't looking to endanger her kids.
No, but she did. And I'm not saying she should have gotten jail time, and I don't think it's a good use of the court's resources to put that through. I mean, hell, in San Joaquin County, they're closing courts. Actually, all over Northern California, they're closing courts. And they're not even going to hear small claims in San Joaquin County. So there are huge cutbacks to courts all over the place. But that doesn't change the fact that she, in fact, did put her kids in danger. And I think it was probably put out there by an overzealous prosecutor.
Racist prosecutor.
Overzealous prosecutor in what is probably coming up on an election year to make a point that he is about families and protecting families.
Bus stop on a 5-lane highway with no crosswalk for a quarter
there you
of a
go.
Mile.
And then, you know.
Maybe they could spend their money on that. Yes, she should have gone to the crosswalk, but
racism
I just think the whole
isn't
thing
a problem
was
in this country. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right?
I really
I'm sorry,
know.
Just it bugged the shit out of me for some reason.
No,
it hit a hot button.
And the woman on the show really did look like, I think many people, when you heard a woman on the bus with four kids, would have expected like the worst stereotype possible. She just looked really demure and like not acting. and was just like, you know, I was tired and need to get home.
Okay.
So I would say, yeah, I just feel bad for her.
Yeah, it just, it broke my heart. And then they were going to take, you know, basically send her away and take her remaining kids away from her.
That's a great use of our tax money.
Okay. Well, that's
I'm putting my soapbox away.
Yeah, that was a crazy soapbox. Step up on there.
Yeah. You should watch. Go on to todayshow.com and watch it because it's a little like, wow, you feel bad for her.
Where was their dad? That's the first question I would have.
Oh, no.
No? I'm not allowed to ask?
No.
What does that have to do with anything?
No, I'm just asking where dad was.
He would have been a responsible adult.
What happens if her husband died serving in Afghanistan?
I'm not implying anything. I'm just asking the question. Where was their dad? Was he at home waiting for them? Was he off at job number three? I don't know.
Why does it matter?
Because it does. Why does it matter? Because you're talking about a woman who is managing four kids on her own. I'm wondering where the father was to help out with that. It doesn't matter in the end game of it. It doesn't matter.
He was working late at his law office.
Well, and that's
fine.
They
were just coming back from the country club.
Sure. And you brought up the point, well, it wouldn't have mattered if it was a white, because that wouldn't have happened to a white, that wouldn't have happened to a white upper class woman, because she wouldn't have been on the bus to begin with. She would have been in a car brought to the front door. I mean, that's really the reality of it. And the other fact is, in most major American cities, if you're talking about riding the bus, there are not a lot of white people riding the bus.
Take the bus out of it. I mean, what if I was down in Midtown here and I, all the time I park and I run across the street and yeah, it's irresponsible and yeah, you should go to the crosswalk, but I just think it's one of those things that I know it's not an excuse, but these are things people do without looking to hurt anybody or to cause problems or to cause damage. But you know, you walk across the street. I saw a lady the other day pushing a stroller in the gutter because I think it was too hard for her to get it up onto the sidewalk and there was no ramp. So she was pushing a baby down the side of the road. And I just thought, oh my God, one drunk driver, one person not paying attention.
Right.
That baby's dead. But I don't think she was like, I'm going to push my baby in the street and, you know, and maybe it's going to get killed.
I think if it was a white woman and
people
she was
do the
in
best
a,
they can.
And she was in an SUV and she was driving home and her kids are going crazy and one got out of their seatbelt and she got in a car accident and the kid died because of it, I don't think she'd be charged with manslaughter.
I agree.
No, but you're talking about the kid getting out on his own. Now, if she would have reached back and let the kid out
maybe
of the seatbelt.
Maybe she did, maybe because he was screaming because he doesn't like
it. Well, and what about in this case? I mean, it wasn't like the lady shoved her kid in the street. They were on a median strip waiting, and that kid darted off.
Okay. Well, you didn't say that. You said they were hit while they were jaywalking.
No, they had made it halfway across. They were on that median strip, and the kid ran off from her, and she actually got hit by the car, too, going after him when he darted off, or her. She, I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl. She darted off after the child, and they were both hit.
Either way, I think we can agree that it is a waste of a lot of resources to be putting someone through that.
I hope the prosecutor, after all this attention, loses.
Yeah.
Although Louisiana is such a messed up state, it's a very different world.
Welcome to Larry Hates on Different Parts of the World.
Right. It's also the only state in the country that isn't based on civil law. It's common law.
Nice.
So if you want to be a lawyer and live in New Orleans, you have to go to law school pretty much in Louisiana. And go to one of three law schools.
It keeps the culture as it was.
They wear wigs.
Nice. You're not downplaying it. I like it. I like it. Sounds very.
The bars never close. I mean, I'm actually making it sound better.
I know the bars never close.
It's
they wear wigs.
Humid all the time. Okay. If you wear jeans, they get wet.
All right. Yes, we're running very long. I've notified the networks, Mel. Come on. So let's wrap this up. We'll talk about the Summer's Eve ads, which have been infiltrating the airwaves and the internets and movie theaters, too. Thankfully, I arrived late because I didn't have to see it. Yes.
They're in the movie theaters?
Yes. The one that looks like a dragon movie, described it, a bad Heath Ledger movie, actually played before a Harry Potter movie.
Wow.
So, yeah. So they are. That's the other thing about the movie theaters. If I'm paying $10.50, I don't want to see anything but movie trailers, bitches.
Remember the olden days where you never had, like, douche or condom commercials during the daytime?
Yeah, totally.
But, okay, so now, Summer's Eve. Not Vagisil, Summer's Eve. It's different. I'm getting my lady products mixed up.
Do you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling?
So Summer's Eve is marketing a new, basically a new body wash and wipes for lady parts.
Yes.
And they've got this whole new Hail to the V campaign.
Hail to the V.
Yes, it's the only power we have. It's all in our hoo-hoo.
It is. It's the cradle of civilization.
Right.
You know, fuck Mesopotamia. It's right in your cooter.
That's right.
That's where it all is. And
my brain is weak, but my cooter is strong.
So they've got the ones that looks like a big dragon movie, and then they've got the ones that they use vagina. It's like hand puppets to represent vaginas.
Turn sideways.
Turn your hand. Think of Senior Wences if you're a little bit older.
It's all right.
But turn sideways. Thankfully, they don't use lipstick on the hand, because that would be
disgusting.
They would be taking it too far. And then they've got the ethnic ones, which there's now claims of racism in them, because they are
they are kind of racist. Not even kind of. They're just racist.
They're sassy.
They are just so unoriginally stereotypical.
Yeah, oh, of course.
They're as a comedian, I'm offended by their unoriginality.
Yeah.
Well, they're not meant to be funny. They're meant to bring awareness to the V. And this was the part that really
men fight for it. Men have died for it.
Actually, sadly, that is true. That is true, because we don't
know
any
better.
I have never
fought for a vagina, and I will never die for a vagina. Ever.
Well, it just really reduces us to our vagina.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Anyway, the ads. One of the things that Summer's Eve claims on their website is that 70% of women cannot identify the parts of their lady parts, which I found shocking and horrifying, because I know what all my business is.
You know all the technical words.
Pretty much.
What's the fold of skin between your ball sack and your ass?
That would be the perineum.
Ooh, $200.
Yeah, there you go. See, I know stuff. It's also known more colloquially as the taint.
You can get it pierced.
You can get anything pierced. You shouldn't, but you can.
If you have a baby, you can have an episiotomy, and they just rip it apart.
Episiotomy.
Oh, well, they actually, because we covered this last time, it was my high school biology teacher had the wife who had a baby, and he explained that they cut it so it doesn't tear.
Yeah, so it doesn't rip. Yeah.
So it doesn't rip.
It's harder to sew it back up.
And it sounds like cutting wet leather,
is what
he said. And then he did the sound effect, which I'm not going to do.
You poop your pants when you usually give birth.
What?
Because you squeeze so hard. That's why a lot of women don't want to eat when they think they're very close.
Okay.
Because you squeeze. Think about it. Like, and you squeeze and you squeeze. Like, you can't control. But like, not my butt, just my hoo-ha.
Okay. I was not aware about it.
If you have a long birth, you're sitting in your poo.
I think they probably help clean you up. I don't think they make you just sit in your poo.
Yeah, you're not actually wearing pants either.
Unless you give birth in one of those kiddie pools.
Oh. And sometimes they have the table sort of drops off anyway, kind of where your butt is, so stuff's sort of falling away.
Sure, yeah, they have one of those things. Like,
I'm getting nauseous talking about
Yeah, they have one of those bags like they have behind the horse on the horse and buggy. It's all cool. You know, so yeah, you're going to knock yourself out.
I'm lightheaded.
Knock yourself out. Let it fly.
That is awesome.
Let it fly. Here's some oats. So I took the quiz and I got a 5 for 5. So apparently I know more about lady parts than 70% of the ladies out there. Larry's looking like he's actually going to faint.
I can't talk about vaginas.
We're not actually showing a picture of one.
I know, but we're talking about it.
It's we're talking about keeping it everything.
The more you know.
Right. I don't think it's a bad thing that. And here's the thing. Everybody is talking about how bad and how cheesy they are, but everybody is talking about it, and that is probably really their goal.
Well, we always come back to that. Didn't we come back to that with the milk campaign? You know, any publicity is good publicity.
Well, no, but any sort of awareness. I mean, I would not have guessed that 70% of women didn't know, because there are five parts that they want you to identify, and one of them is the anus. So if you ladies, if you literally don't know your ass from a hole in the ground, you really should go and do some research as to what everything is and what's going on.
Well, I think the funny thing is I remember watching one of those, not Oprah, but one of those similar sort of talk shows a million years ago.
Sure.
And there was I can't remember exactly what the details were, but there was a woman who did not have a vagina.
Okay.
She did not have an anatomically... She was like kind of at development. She got stuck in the middle.
Sure.
And she wasn't one or the other. She was nothing. She was asexual, basically.
Right. Sounds like a Jenny Jones topic.
Yeah. And one of the women in the audience said, "How do you pee?" And the lady looked at her and said, do you pee through your vagina? And the lady said, yes. And she said, you need to look at a book or understand that, no, you do not pee through your vagina. No. The lady didn't know.
It's flabbergasting how, and I get it. I understand that for guys it's different because your stuff is on the outside and it doesn't take as much effort to look at it.
You don't need a mirror to see everything.
Right. You don't need a mirror to see everything.
Hilarious. Sweating awesomely.
You're usually really incredibly curious about making everything work, you know, because you're a guy. We want to make stuff work. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
And so I get it, but either way, so if you haven't seen the ads, there is a link on the show extras page. You can watch all the talking hand vaginas.
And you too can find your vulva.
You can. You can find your vulva. You can find your labia.
You can also go to Wikipedia and press random link if you don't want to learn about vaginas.
Do you pronounce it clitoris or clitoris? I just love making Larry squirm. It's so much fun. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up with Larry moaning in the background in pain because we're talking about lady parts.
And ladies, if you find nothing else, I do recommend find your clitoris or clitoris and figure out how it works. It's important.
It is. And if you have a boyfriend or a husband, he probably should know what it is, too, and how it works.
My boyfriend does not need to know what a clitoris is.
We're talking to the ladies now.
Oh.
We're an equal opportunity show.
Know it, learn it, love it.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for hanging in through our extra long show. I think it was worthwhile.
Totally.
Absolutely. We hit everything and then some. So for pictures of Larry and his fabulous softball outfit, for links to the stuff we talked about on the show tonight, you can hit the show extras link at natedarlingshow.podbean.com if you're one of our iTunes listeners. And if you would like to email the show, go ahead and do that, please. It's natedarlingshow@rocketmail.com. And if you can't remember that, there is a link at the show extras link on the website. So hit us up with anything you got. We would love to hear from you. And if you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. Tell a couple of friends about it and spread the love. And we'll spread our wings and fly, as it were.
Larry's still nauseous.
He's still nauseous. He thought it was
can
a vagina reference.
Can we not talk about vaginas as much next time?
No.
We will not talk about vaginas
or
as much next time.
Or can we call them something else, like unicorns?
Unicorns? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because unicorn, I don't want to
think. How's your unicorn feeling, Mel?
Happy.
Okay, see, that's much better.
Rainbow, okay. Whatever makes you feel better.
Email us your suggestion for what we should call it from here on out.
We will take all of those. So, for Mel Gelbart.
Bye.
And Larry Mead.
Au revoir.
I am Nate Darling. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.